About a go early? A couple of minutes early, or what do you reckon?
Yeah, we can. Whatever. We can start technically early if we like. God knows we started late numerous times.
Yeah, we're only like
it's balancing the powers.
We're only about 80 seconds early. Right, here we go. Then. Let's do some intros if you can
remember. That was very exact.
If I can remember how to do this. Right, here we go. Hope it works. 5, 4. Shit. Nope. My stream deck didn't. Oh, I'm gonna press the wrong fucking button. That's right. Right, here we go. Take 2. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 637 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is June 27th of the year 2021. I am your host today, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And I am joined today, spinning the decks, Robin Tate. Oh, wait a minute. You're not Robin.
Nope.
You, Mr. Mark Wright. Welcome back.
I can be Robin if you want.
Potato.
Well synced, by the way, with the voice work. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I'm back. Really good. Yeah, hello. Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, I had a lot going off, so yeah, I'm back.
Well, we'll dive into that, but welcome back to the show. Obviously not on the show today, Robin Tate, for not so obvious reasons. He claims it's his wife's birthday. We believe he really doesn't care about the birthday part of it. He just wants to get her drunk and then take advantage of her.
Have his wily way.
Yes, absolutely. Kim Woods also not on the podcast today. Kim is
a wily way.
No, she might be hunting Wile E. Coyote, yeah. But I believe, because I think that's what they do at her family reunion.
Yeah.
I think they hunt living things and then they skin them and eat them.
I know there's lots of shotguns involved.
Yeah, that's the narrative I'm going with.
Yeah.
Pete Chin is being his usual lovable ginger self.
His yummy self.
Yeah, I think he's on holiday. I could be wrong. I don't know where he's at, actually. Phil? Phil's been missing in action for a while, but he's had a lot going on as well. But we still love him just the same. Richard Webster hinted at coming back to the show at some point in time because he has a lot to say about
WhatsApp
out of the blue.
Yeah, he's not following through.
We always have a door open to our former podcasters, and I consider him a former podcaster at this point in time only because it literally, I think, has been over a year. And hey, Nicole was on last week.
I heard.
Yeah, Nicole actually, and this is my bad, Nicole, because she had said, if you need me to fill in, I could probably fill in for this week. We just got to this all late. I thought we were going to have a fuller crew than we were and then realized we were short. And so, well, whatever. It's just the two of us. Just the two of us, Mark.
I've got a song about that.
I know you do. A condom.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
And there we go. Our YouTube strike just hit. Yeah.
It's not that long. It's under 20 seconds.
You know. I don't think they even care anymore. No, I think moment they recognize it within seconds.
It's not monetized, so screw them.
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, if you are listening to us for the first time, welcome. We are a video game podcast. We do talk about everything, though. So it is also life elements. We broadcast every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, the West Coast, 4 p.m. East Coast. And if you're happy to be in the Central Time Zone, we're sorry. It's 3 p.m. there. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. You'll be able to find past shows on YouTube. We just do the live shows on Twitch. And I think, Mark, if I remember correctly, that's because Twitch were getting after us. They were giving us strikes as well. I can't remember.
No, there was a lot of people getting strikes for previous content because they're sort of like all of a sudden enforced DRM right down to the bone. So as a so precaution, we just deleted it, all as video on demand.
We're just running from the law, basically. Yeah. It was what's going on. Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, let's just dive into it. No birthdays, with the exception of Judith. Judith Tate is turning 22 today. Robin literally stole her out of the cradle and has kept her locked away in a closet for many, many years. And now, just now, letting her out to actually foster children openly. For years, it's been quietly done behind the scenes. He was trying to build a harem at one point, I'm pretty sure. Northern Mexican Irish harem.
Yeah.
Do we have a birthday song?
Yeah,
maybe.
We do. Oh, and it's got a special background theme to it as well.
Ooh. Ah, Judith's homeland. There you go. Happy birthday, Judith. We love you dearly. All right. Let's dive into just a little bit about what's been going on the past few weeks. Mark, it's story time.
Hooray, it's story time. Hooray, it's story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right, Mark. You've been gone for quite a while.
Yeah.
Let's dive into it a little bit. What's been going on on your end?
Yeah, initially, the reason for my absence off a podcast was health reasons again. Poor Jenny, she's had a lot going on. She ended up in hospital again with severe breathing difficulties and pain, and they did x-rays on her lungs. There was a massive shadow on her lung, and this time they ruled out the fungal growth. So there was a bit of a cancer scare going off, so I was a little bit stressed, to put it bluntly.
Fair enough.
And it was having a knock-on effect with my job. I was getting struggling at work because of all the stress and everything. So, but work's been brilliant. They've really been supportive. And then she had a few tests done, and the shadow had moved on the sort of like the x-ray afterwards, which was a good sign, which indicated it's not actually cancer, and it's actually it was a bad infection. And it's taken her nearly 2 months to actually recover over it, but she's fully recovered now, so that's a huge relief. But yeah, at the time it was very stressful.
I know you weren't. I know you weren't. And I do want to let you know, I actually heard from the hospital. Turns out the shadow was your thumb. When they were taking the x-rays, your thumb got in the way and cast the shadow multiple times. So just a word to the wise. Don't put your thumb out there. Well, we're glad that Jenny is doing well, obviously. That's the good news.
I mean, I was going to come back the other week, but then I just decided to go on holiday. So I had a bit of holiday.
Not like you hadn't been taking enough time away from the show.
We went away. Nice little caravan of someone who we know. We rented that for a week. Nice little seaside resort just outside of Skegness on the East Lincolnshire coast. And we got brilliant weather. I think it was mid-June, we went. Yeah, it was 26 degrees every day. It was scorching, sunny, hot every day. It was fantastic. It was nice and relaxing.
Just for the record, this goes back to our pre-show conversation. 26 sounds cold. No, it just does.
It
sounds cold.
It's Fahrenheit, yeah.
Well, Mark, we are glad that you did get some time away.
Yeah,
we're glad that you know, the life is back to somewhat normal.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Just about, and yesterday was mine and Jenny's 28th wedding anniversary. 28.
I'm glad you said something. 28, holy smokes.
28, 1993, that's a lot. We got married. So, 28th wedding anniversary yesterday.
Crazy.
And I've booked a couple of days off work. I'm off today right until Wednesday so we can celebrate a bit. I had to work on my anniversary yesterday, unfortunately. I've got a bit of time off. We're just going to spend some time together and go out if it's nice weather and that. And spend some quality time together.
That's code word, by the way, for your yearly activity.
Yeah. Well, you never know what happened last night, do you? I'm not telling you.
Yeah, hey.
A bit like Robin.
Shove.
But this, like, those who follow the podcast knows I started a new job last August, and it's a lot more hours and stuff, but I do love it. I love the new job. I'm a lot happier in myself, and my wife's noticed that hugely, but it's just so time consuming. It takes up so much of my time. The hours are longer and that, and it's a management role. So yeah, I don't get as much time to game as what I used to do, and certainly I can't listen to podcasts at work anymore, so I'm miles behind on all my podcasts.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. So speaking of podcasts, just to digress real quickly, there are so many podcasts I have loaded up on my podcast player. Yeah. I have found one, I've slowly but surely been backing away from all of the political related ones.
Oh, I don't listen to much.
I pretty much have... It does. It does wind you up. And for a period of time, you know, some of them were giving some good information. But I've wanted to get into that more chill, relax, you know, kind of mood. And so I've been doing the same thing. I gaming podcasts, sports podcasts, primarily what I listen to.
Yeah.
But even then, there's been so many new podcasts popping up. It feels like a new wave, and maybe it's because Next Gen is here and there's, you know, an influx of new players. I don't know, but it's been kind of crazy. All different kinds of new podcasts popping up.
All right.
And I've started to become very selective. And I have to admit, like, you know, Nextlander is a new podcast that came up. That's the former Giant Bomb guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Giant Bomb had like a splitting. Vinny Caravella, Brad Shoemaker, and forgot the other guy.
I never really followed. I couldn't get into that podcast, but I know you did, and I know Rich did.
Yeah,
I remember Rich and you chatting about this in the WhatsApp.
Yeah, so they split off to form this new podcast, and I've been listening, and I honestly, So, yeah, we'll see. Anyway, still try to listen to community podcasts though as much as possible. But again, just like you, it's been so busy, especially during the week when normally I've been listening to them. I just haven't been able to keep up. But I have been able to keep up on some shows. That's one thing I have been doing.
Oh, yeah, we've been watching a few.
Yeah. So do you watch any of the Disney Plus stuff?
We haven't for a while. The last thing I watched on Disney Plus was, and it's an old one, we watched Quantico. There was two or three seasons of Quantico about the FBI Academy. That was pretty decent. Right. We watched that.
Okay.
Wife likes stuff like that. Because we finished Homeland, all eight seasons of Homeland. I think I mentioned that last time I was on.
Right.
And we've watched SWAT on Netflix, two seasons of SWAT. The main guy from that is the guy out of Criminal Minds, Shemar Moore.
Right.
So we really enjoyed SWAT. That's a really good watch. I want to start on Loki. I know you're going to talk about that.
Yes.
And there's also, I need to try revisit WandaVision. So I watched the first episode and I had to turn it off halfway through.
Yeah.
But everyone's telling me to stick it out because it changes and it gets really good.
So like WandaVision, Loki is kind of in that realm for me. I'm not going to spoil anything. I will just say this. I started off pretty warm to hot with Loki. Really enjoyed the first episode. Second and third episodes, I've kind of wavered a little bit on how I feel about it. It's gone in a direction. I'm just like, well, we'll see. I'll stick it out.
I've heard the controversy that he turns into a female character, but Loki's been a shapeshifter anyway, but people are trying to politicize it more than what it has to be or something. I don't know.
Okay, my take real fast. Don't buy into that.
No.
The main guy playing Loki is still very much part of the show.
Yeah.
And so this, you know, he is not turning into a woman.
No.
There is a narrative that fits what they're talking about, but I didn't go into a politicalization of this. For me, this is one of the few times where I'm like, okay, you know, it's an interesting spin. The show I've actually really been enjoying on Disney Plus is the Clone Wars Bad Batch.
Oh, right. Yeah, the Star Wars thing.
So I never was able to get into the Clone Wars, you know, animated series.
No, I never watched that. I've heard a lot of
people. That was one I struggled with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody seemed to like it.
I didn't realize Bad Batch were animated.
Yes. Yeah. So it is really good. Surprisingly good. Very much enjoying it. It has not quite the same aesthetic of the Clone Wars. The Clone Wars to me felt a little bit more cartoony. Yeah. This has this nice kind of melding of kind of more adult themes to it and seriousness. And then the animation style, it has a bit of that cel-shaded look to it still, like the Clone Wars. But it is slightly different, and I don't quite know how to explain it. But when you look at the two, comparatively speaking, they don't look the same. And one of the things I will say is whenever I watch The Bad Batch, whenever you see space scenes it looks just like something out of Star Wars.
Right.
Like it does not look animated for the ships. It looks pretty legit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've very much been enjoying that. And it ties in really well to the Star Wars universe. You get some great little kind of cameos. And if you know the Star Wars universe, you'll pick up on certain things.
Yeah.
And suddenly you start having some aha moments about, oh, well, that's where so-and-so comes from or originates. And so anyway, good stuff.
Yeah,
I'm very much enjoying that.
There is something coming up on Disney Plus, what we want to watch soon, which is War of the Worlds Season 2. Well, it's actually Star. It's a channel called Star, which is inside Disney Plus. I don't know how that works, but
yeah. So I have actually been watching War of the Worlds.
Yeah, you've got it early, haven't you? Season. You've got it before us.
So, good so far.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think that's one of those underrated series that not a lot of people have heard about. Very much enjoying that as well. And then just the last kind of thing on my end, all of my yard work projects are more or less done. There's still a little things here and there that will need to be fixed.
It's
but
never done. There'll always be another project. There'll always be something else you have to do or fix.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. But I mean, the major things are done. So the front pavers are all done. We've got a really cool new patio area on the front of the side of the house so we can sit out there in evenings, have a cocktail, whatever, be sociable with the neighbors. And then in the back of the house, we had a kind of a middle area. We had really redone most of our backyard already, but there was just a middle section that it had looked nice enough before. But now that we have redone everything else, every time we look at it in this middle section that kind of connects two different patio areas, it just looked kind of sloppy, for lack of a better way to put it. And so my wife was like, I want to do something about this. I want to redo it. So she set out, full power to her. She actually was the designer, most of the muscle when it came to doing that. I was just there to shovel rocks.
Yeah.
That was my whole grunt. Yeah. Yes. But yeah, so that's all done. Happy to have that behind me. And now looking forward to end of June, beginning of July, we're going to go up and see, I guess technically it's going to be July now that I think about it. But we're going to go see my wife's brother and then her mom. And then my parents, because my parents live up in Reno. So we're all going to meet up, have a nice time with that. And then end of July into August, we're going to go to Disneyland.
Right.
Yeah. And we decided to pony up the money. We're staying at the Disneyland California Grand Resort, which is, it's a Disneyland themed hotel.
Yeah.
Cost an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
But Call going for... Yeah, totally. It's going to be worth it because it also has a private entrance into Disneyland.
Right. Okay.
So we don't have to go through the normal crowds.
Yeah.
So we're just it's going to be fun. And the Marvel Avengers theme area is now open in Disneyland. So we'll see the expanded Star Wars stuff, the Marvel Avengers stuff. I'm buzzing a little bit about it now.
So the two main Disney sort of like theme parks, you've got your California one and you've got your Florida one, haven't you? Are they similar setups or are they totally different rides and everything?
So in Florida is actually bigger.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, in California, there's the original Disneyland and then there's California Adventures, which are basically it's two different theme parks kind of joined together. So there's like a center courtyard area. And if you go left, you go to Disneyland. If you go right, you go to California Adventures. You can get what they call a park hopper ticket. So you can go kind of walk back and forth. and go visit whichever park you want to go visit.
Yeah.
They have different rides, different themes. California Adventure is going to be more, that's where the Marvel Avengers stuff is. Yeah. Cars, Pixar themed type rides are on the California side. And on the Disneyland side, that's where Star Wars is.
Yeah,
and the traditional Disneyland
the
stuff.
The Florida one's got Star Wars on it, yeah.
In Florida, there are 5 parks.
Oh, wow.
So there's a traditional Disneyland park similar to the original Disneyland Castle Kingdom.
Yeah.
Then there is Animal Kingdom, which that's where the Pandora Avatar stuff is.
Right.
There is Epcot Center. And so that's kind of science fiction. Used to be more I used to say it was more boring. then they have a water theme park, and I'm missing one of the other parks, and I'm trying a total blank. But anyway, so I believe there's 5 total parks within the Disneyland thing. You can take a monorail to all of them, but you can't just walk to the other park. Right. It's a ride.
Yeah.
So a very different feel to the parks in a lot of ways, but there's a consistent Disney theme to everything, though.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. Well, that's. I think we're caught up. Well, let's talk.
I've had a bit of an adventure today.
Okay.
So I'm finally getting around to playing The Last of Us 2, and I'm just a couple of hours in. I played a bit of it yesterday, and my PS4 just went into rest mode. On its own, right. For no reason. And I thought note of it. But it did it again today, and it wouldn't turn on for quite a while. And it has been sounding like a 747 jumbo jet for quite a long time now. So
right.
I knew it would be an overheating situation. So I took the plunge, and I stripped it down and cleaned it all out. There was a shit ton of dust in there on the heat sink, on the right. Part you can't see. When you take the main... heat sink plate off the main motherboard, the thermal paste for the main processor chip, that was all dried and manky. So I had a bit of thermal paste, what I had for when I did my PC recently. So I put new thermal paste on, give it a good clean out, and fired it up, and it was quiet as a mouse. I fired up The Last of Us 2 again, and the fan barely made a sound, and it was running great, and then the controller disconnected. What's going on here? So I reconnected the controller, and then every now and again my characters in the game would just like start spinning around and doing weird things, and then there'd be a lot of lag and button presses would take like half an hour to respond. I was getting eaten by clickers left, right and centre because of this, and it kept disconnecting again. So I did a bit of a Google search, and apparently it's a common thing that when you strip it down, when you take the little antenna lead off the motherboard, it's like a little round pin.
Right.
With a single pin in the centre, it damages it, and I stripped it down again, and I had a look at it, and I couldn't see anything, but I've actually had to order a new antenna cable with a little antenna on the end. It was only £5, so that's coming from Amazon tomorrow. So fingers crossed, I can get back into The Last of Us 2 tomorrow.
Right, because that keeps you literally can't play Last of Us 2 then,
nope.
Can you?
Nope, no. Wow. I need my PS4 for that.
Well, no, but your PS4 needs to be connected. Without that antenna, you're not able to get into it.
Well, no, because no controller.
Yeah.
I tried. I thought.
Could you plug your controller in?
I tried that. I plugged in the USB in the front and plugged in the controller. It still kept doing it. Now on Xbox, once you plug the controller in, it takes it off Wi-Fi and goes wired. But
interesting.
No, not on PlayStation.
I wonder if the PlayStation design. It doesn't actually wire. It's not a wired connection. I wonder if that is literally just for charging.
Yeah, it's just for charging and just for the initial setup, apparently.
Okay.
So yeah, I was a bit disappointed. So yeah, fun and games today. Yeah, I fixed it and then broke it at the same time.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, let's just say we're talking about it. Let's talk games, Mark. Let's talk about Last of Us 2. We might as well just dive into it.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Yeah, we've done that bit anyway. So
yeah,
So The Last of Us 2. Alright, I don't know why it's taking me so long to play this. The Last of Us was my game of a generation on the last lot of consoles. I still think it's one of the best games ever made. get over the knife plot, Greg. Get over it.
It's a distant memory.
Yeah. I fired it up, and holy fucking shit, this game is one of the best games I have ever seen.
And it's one of the best movies I've ever watched, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is on, like, technically last gen now. Yeah, it just looks absolutely stunning. And as you'd expect from the last game, the acting is absolutely top notch. So, I'm just 2 hours in. I've not got far into it. Today, when the console decided to shut down, it was right in the middle of one of the most intense, fucking emotional key points of the game. And those who've played it 2 hours in, they'll know what I'm talking about. I will not spoil it. But yeah, it was a oh my fucking god moment. And then the PlayStation went, I'm going in rest mode. Goodbye.
So that's when Godzilla started punching King Kong.
Yeah. But my god, what a fucking shocker that was. I wasn't expecting that. That's where I've got to.
It's like the double shock. I can just see it now. Your face is like, what?
Yeah. What? Well, that's why.
Suddenly the screen goes black and you're like, what? Yeah. What?
Well, that's why normally it'd take me days to fix it. But I thought, fuck this, I'm fucking ran downstairs, screwdrivers out. I wanted to fix that fucker and find out what happened, which I did. But then my controller wouldn't work.
Yeah, well, if you need to know what happened, I can help you out.
No. Tomorrow, I'll be finishing it. I'll be back in there tomorrow playing it. But yeah, excellent. Wow, what a game. If that sets up the tone for the rest of the game, I will say this.
I don't know that you'll be finishing it tomorrow because...
It's 20 hours long, isn't it, some of the videos?
Yeah, well, that moment, which I believe you're referring to, is surprisingly earlier in the game than you would think. And it already had been going for quite some time.
All right.
So that was my shock.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, okay. So The Last of Us 2, it is a fantastic game.
I've not put it on screen because it's all spoilerific. So I didn't put it on screen for that one.
No worries. No worries at all. I will just say this, going back to the whole, this is where Sony to me excels. Sony makes top notch first party games. Ratchet and Clank is another game that we can kind of point to being, it is AAA caliber. And they come out and you feel like you're playing, watching, whatever you want to describe it. You're in a premium experience.
Yeah.
And so that I think is really where Sony has made such great strides. And it really does set them apart from the competition. I would say even above and beyond what Nintendo does. Yeah. Nintendo makes great games, don't get me wrong. And so does Xbox. But neither of those companies have made that, again, kind of thinking about that AAA movie experience come to life in a game.
Nah.
And that's, I think that's the big difference. It's... they've made great games that feel like great games. And Gears of War 5, I think, is probably the closest Microsoft has come to nailing the vibe.
Yeah.
But for Sony on a whole, they manage to do this often. And that has become, I think, kind of their hallmark. I'll be curious. I would bet dollars to donuts that we do see a Last of Us 2 remastered for PS5. I think they come back out with that and they resell that. Personally, it makes sense.
My nephew James, he managed to get a PS5. He's got one, and he says all the PS4 games run on it superbly, and it's like us with the Xbox with the previous Xbox game. He says it loves it. He says it's superb and they run like a dream. So, I'm old enough. I ain't getting one yet until at least God of War or the New Horizon.
I need it to be smaller, to be perfectly honest.
And I literally
need it to be smaller. Yeah,
if I get one, I think it'll be the digital one. I won't need the Blu-ray player in it, so I might as well save myself £80 and get the digital edition. But they're still like Rocking Horse shit in the UK. You just can't get them.
Yeah, so funny thing, and this just is a side note to the digital thing. I was listening to some people that are talking about, and this is, I guess, technically a news item, but we'll talk about it right now. The Xbox is redesigning their box art, one of the guys was talking, and he was saying, I don't understand why it just says Xbox Series X on the case. It doesn't mention Series S.
All right.
That's because the S doesn't have a disk drive.
Yeah.
You literally can't play that game on an S.
I remember a while ago when John Mouse got his Xbox One S. Series S. I said, oh, I've got Cyberpunk and Valhalla here. I'll send you them. You can have them for now. I haven't been bothered selling them on eBay. I'll send you them. And he went, you can't. It doesn't have a disk drive. And I'm thinking, shit, I forgot about that. So...
Welcome to the digital age.
Just finishing off on The Last of Us 2. So the way it opens up, the recap on what happened at the end of the first game, I thought that was very clever. I was going to say
It is a great game.
Yeah.
I would say I'll even say PS5. I mean, just if you're a PlayStation owner, this is a game that you should play.
Yeah.
So, but again, I will also stipulate, fair warning, it is graphic to a level that is borderline uncomfortable. At least for me, it was.
Yeah.
And I think some people, I mean, that was actually the rub on it when it came out, was that a lot of people said it didn't necessarily need to be that way.
Right.
But it delivers.
The only thing what bugged me in the first game was the shivs. Every time you used a shiv, after so many uses, I think it was two uses. It was scrap, and you had to craft a new one. Well, so far in this new game, Ellie's already got a knife, like a little dagger thing, and it's reusable over and over again. So that is a godsend in itself. I think they've realized that was a bad move in the first game.
Yeah,
and the knife box.
Yeah, if I'm going to bring out my critiquing self, because I know you wanted to hear this, Mark. Gone are the days of the knife blocks, collecting the knives and not being able to see. You know, that was my gripe on The Last of Us 1. The one gripe I have, and this is not just The Last of Us 2, by the way. This is any video game that does this. I cannot stand when you have games that allow you to get new guns and upgrade them and collect them, so to speak, that if you are fighting an enemy and you kill them and they drop their gun, you can't get their gun.
Yeah.
In The Last of Us 2, Ellie faces off against guys that have some really kick-ass weapons, and yet all she can do is collect the ammo from it, so to speak. She can't pick up their gun. It's a niggle kind of thing, but it's not just The Last of Us. Many games do this. It always is just like, why can't I pick up that perfectly good gun right there? It's better than the one I have. But anyway, I digress. Okay. Let's save Dark Alliance for last. Yeah. Talk to me about Watch Dogs, and then I'll run through my other games, and then we'll talk about Dark Alliance. How's that?
So the little bit of gaming time I have had, I have completed Watch Dogs Legion. I started it a while ago when I was still on the podcast, but I've spent a fair few hours sort of like over the last 5 weeks and finished it off, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really good. I've liked... I know Watch Dogs 1 got a bit of stick, but I quite liked it. I like the theory behind it, the sort of like the gimmicks of the gadgets. And Legion sort of like grows on that a lot more. There's still the phone hacking, and there's a new thing called a spider bot, which can go into areas where you can't, and you can do a lot of things with that spider bot, like hacking and taking down enemies as you upgrade it. The area you're playing, London... I don't really know London that well, but it does look quite well recreated. There's a lot of recognisable streets and areas where...
Let me just tell you, Mark, I've been to London, and as an expert on London, it was completely recognisable two spots. The Tube, I think, was what I only recognised.
And obviously it's sort of like set in the near future. There's a lot of like technology stuff where like a lot of drones flying around. All the cars are electric and autonomous and stuff. The characters in it are really good. The voice acting is really good, although some were quite generic because you can recruit literally any character you see in the game. But
is one of the cool aspects, right? I mean, literally anybody, you can try and recruit them.
Yeah. Some of them have got more sort of like abilities than others, but you see that when you sort of like hack into their profile on your phone, you can see what abilities they've got. My favourite characters were a hitman. He was really cool because he could do dodge rolls and he can do instant takedowns. And I had like a 007 secret spy guy, which I used to like. I remember it was just this like this sort of like girl who was just like down with the kids' streets, and she had an MP5 submachine gun, and she used to kick ass when she was ace. But yeah, quite a good story. Didn't seem to drag on really. When you thought it was over at one point, it carried on a little bit. But yeah, pretty good story. Pretty good villain. And quite a few branching paths. So yeah, really enjoyed it. Graphically, it looked amazing on the Series X. So yeah, I don't know what else to say about it, really.
Actually, quick question. Did you ever play the Gear? I have played some of it, yes. And then I got sidetracked.
So easy.
Well, Valhalla came out.
Yeah.
Actually, that detracted me from it.
Yeah.
And then I got into playing Call of Duty, the online multiplayer. And so that pulled me away from it further. But I still have it, and I mean to go back to it. Just like I want to go back and check out Ghost. Ghost Warriors. Breakpoint, yes. Yeah. I very much want to check that out. I know they've gone through some really nice upgrades on that game.
There's another season out again now.
So. Did you ever play the Gears of War 5 Hive Busters?
I started it. Yeah, I started it very briefly, but then I thought, right, no, I want to concentrate and get Watch Dogs done. So yeah, I've not been back to it. But you told me about it, and I did try it, and it does look gorgeous.
It's a very unusual thing for Gears of War in that it's actual single player co-op DLC, where normally it's always multiplayer stuff.
Yeah,
this is legitimately like a standalone kind of campaign, which is kind of cool. All right, so I have continued to play more BattleTech. I got back into playing the campaign, and this is all born out of me playing with the guys from the SEAL podcast. They have a BattleTech league that they've been doing. And so I have had my ass handed to me multiple times, and that's just because I've been far too long away from this game.
I think I've seen Real Cahoon, and he streams this, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is we all have to stream the actual live matches that we play. Fraser and I had a really good down to the wire match. I took out two of his. He ended up taking out all four of my mechs. But this last time, I the floor was wiped with me. I lost all four mechs. It was not pretty.
I've not spoken to the SEAL guys for a while, but my lad still plays Valorant with him daily.
So outside of BattleTech, excuse me, as I choked to death. take a sip real quick.
I saw BattleTech on sale recently as well, and I nearly picked it up.
I'll play multiplayer with you. It's fun. But I mean, the matches take, well, depending upon how you play. Like, I play pretty fast paced, and that's probably what killed me, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
But I'm Leroy Jenkins. Just charge on in. Let's do it. I fired up Tunic. They had a demo that came out after E3, and so I was all excited to check this out. It looks really nice. It has a very Zelda-like feel to it in some respects. And I started to play it, and I start walking down this bridge to get into the demo, and there's these two like little like barriers like you would see on a street with, you know, they're like the caution barriers.
Yeah.
Little sawhorses. And I'm like, I can't get past these. Why not? I'm trying everything, trying to jump through them, looking for a weapon to break them. Nothing. And it is like frustrating. So on the stream, you can see you're kind of walking up this area. You see this middle section. There's this little pedestal. You step on it. There's a message that comes up from the developer. Gives you some tool tips on the controller. And then from there, you're supposed to cross this bridge and get into the demo. And yet I walk, and right where the character's walking, midway through that bridge, these stupid sawhorses are up with caution tape, and I can't get past them. Well, turns out they did a limited run on the E3 demos. So they were only available for the week of E3, and once they were done, you couldn't play them anymore.
Oh, so they blocked it off.
This is the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
Why keep it available for download then?
Exactly. So I was very disappointed. It looks great. I've heard people giving some pretty positive feedback. Other people saying it's a little tougher than they had hoped. But it's, Tunic is on my watch list.
Has it got a, like a Bastion vibe then?
No.
I enjoyed Bastion.
My understanding is it's less Bastion, and it's actually more almost like a roguelike kind of you've got one life to live type thing.
All right. Okay.
So we'll see. I was so frustrated, and I fired it up, and then I got frustrated, and I stopped it, and then I went back to it again, thinking, okay, well maybe I just missed something, and I'm watching videos.
Saying, Greg,
I jumped on YouTube. I'm watching YouTube videos. And I see they're crossing the bridge. Nothing. And I'm like, what? And so Kim, ironically, was the one that was like, no, same thing happened to me. Apparently, it's a limited time demo. And then I remembered they were talking about a lot of these E3 demos would not be available after the week of
E3. Right.
And I just thought to myself, why? But oh well. And then I fired up Red Dead Redemption 2 the other night. Just felt like kind of just cowboying up.
Single player or multiplayer?
I fired up the single player because I've completed the game, but you can still go back in and do stuff.
Oh yeah,
and so
there's plenty to do, isn't there?
But then I was instantly reminded of one of my frustrations with Red Dead Redemption 2, which is I went into town and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go find a bounty and I'll go hunt somebody down and just have a little fun. And so I see the sheriff's office. It's got the little bounty icon on it, so I can go there, get a bounty. And so I'm riding along. And mind you, it's been a long time since I played this game. Yeah. And so the controls, not exactly familiar.
Yeah.
And so I'm riding along, and I'm trying not to run anybody over because I do remember, you know, actions have consequences.
There's always a witness somewhere, isn't there?
Little bastards. Yeah, well, so one of the things I had found – was the B button was like for kicking. Like if you're riding along, you can kick. Well, I tried to avoid a citizen in the street, and I got my horse up against a fence, and I hit the B button. I kicked the fence, and vandalism comes up on the screen, and I see some guy run to the sheriff's office, and the sheriff comes out, and they arrest me. I could have gotten to a shootout. I didn't want to. But I'm like, really? I kicked a fence. And
you vandal.
Exactly. So that was the start and end of my playing of Red Dead Redemption 2.
I know Red Dead Online's got a bit more popular recently, hasn't it?
They've been
playing that. I know some of the joystick and chill guys, they play regular to get the daily rewards and stuff.
It's such a good game. Yeah. And I will just say this. That has probably the best horse mechanics out of any game.
Oh, yeah.
I was just watching my horse just being a very natural, like, you know, shaking its head every once in a while and just being restless when you're standing still. It just looks so good. So,
like your rock stars and your Naughty Dogs and that, they're just that next level, aren't they? The attention to detail is just superb.
It really is. And it's not just that, like, a head above the competition. It's head and shoulders above the competition.
Yeah, they're a different level.
That leads us to Dark Alliance.
Yeah.
So let's put some background to this because this game was announced. I think a lot of people were kind of excited for it. New Dungeons & Dragons game, Dark Alliance. There's a lot of, kind of, I think, nostalgic vibes to the old Dark Alliance games on the PlayStation 2. And so I think a lot of people were kind of thinking that's what this might be. Then we kind of fast forward to the launch of the game. It definitely is not the old school, you know, Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance games.
Yeah. I never played any of them, so I had no expectations of me.
Yeah, those were more Diablo-like.
Yeah,
the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
This is definitely not. This is more third.
More of a proper slasher one, isn't it?
Action game. It has definitely RPG elements to it. Reviews started coming out, and they were all over the place.
Yeah,
people either loved it, they hated it, not much in between. I feel like this game in a lot of ways is being misunderstood. One, the Dark Alliance game, this game, is really a game that's following the Icewind Dale Forgotten Realms storyline. So there are four named characters in this game that you play. Yeah. Those are four characters from an actual novel, book novel of characters from this Forgotten Realms series. And so I recognized immediately who these characters are, but I know a lot of people just don't. They're kind of like, why? Who are these people? Why are we playing
why
them?
Why can't I create a character sort of thing? Yeah.
Right. Why can't I create this own character? The customizations are not really there. You're stuck playing these characters. And that's because it's a story about these characters.
Like the Last of Us all. You don't create a character, do you? You play as that character.
Exactly. And so I think that has, I think the misconception coming to this was people really thought they were going to just be able to create their own D&D character. And that's not the case. I also, as we started to get into the mechanics of the game, this is one of the funny elements for me. I first fired up the game and I played Drist Uden, who's a drow elf assassin, basically. Yeah. I think he's probably the easiest character to pick up and play.
Yeah.
Because everything feels like it should. Yeah. Hack and slash if you want.
His moves are fast. His attacks are fast. He's nimble and agile.
And so when I played with you earlier today, I actually started up a new character. I played as Katie Bree.
Yeah.
And she is a ranged archer. And at first, I started playing and I was just like, okay, this kind of sucks. I'm shooting arrows. Not dealing much damage. I'm shooting arrows and her physical attacks are kind of, just melancholy. Maybe that's the best way to put it. They're just not exciting. She's doing kind of karate moves. She's kicks and punches as opposed to having a sword or anything in her hand. So I was just kind of like, I'm like, okay. I'm like, this is interesting. Fortunately, you were playing a character that was very more powerful than mine. Yeah. And so you were able to take the load of the brunt. But then I started to realize a couple things. One, she has different shot types based on how fast you're pulling the trigger.
Right.
So you hold the bow back longer.
Yeah.
It's a power shot.
Yeah.
If you just are doing quick fire trigger pulls, she's just firing one after another, doing far less damage.
Yeah.
And this was the big one, her stamina goes down.
Yeah.
And I did not realize how big stamina plays in this game, but it plays a huge part in this game. And it's funny because one of the things I noticed was when I went to do physical attacks, when I tried to, if the enemy was swarming onto me, I'd try and, kick them out of the way. And if I had been rapid shooting all my arrows, when it came time to doing the physical attack, she looked slow and tired. And the reality was she was slow and tired because her stamina had been completely drained down. So once you understand that, then suddenly my playstyle changed. And so when we were playing together, what I quickly learned was my role was not to be charging in. My role wasn't to be up front battling.
It was to keep getting me up and reviving me.
It was because she's a support character. So my role was ranged attack, and she does have healing powers. So it really was a support role. And once I got that, once I fell into that, this game took on a whole more, a new fun level for me. And I thoroughly enjoyed our time session, playing it, far more than I thought it was going to.
Yeah. Well, I've played another character. I played a dwarf. That was my first time I played the game. I played as a dwarf character. And he's quite cool as well. He's not as fast and as nimble as, Drizzt, the elf guy. He's a bit more slow and cumbersome, but he's got an axe and he's got a shield. So the shield does more blocking and it actually pushes him away. The axe is quite lethal. There's still a ranged attack where it's like it shoots some like disc thing out, but it doesn't do much damage. But it's good for like getting the red barrels what blow up. So if you want to do a surprise attack and use the barrels to inflict damage before you go in there. Now, the dwarf guy does roll forward. You said that you don't roll in this. Driz guy does like this special, like, he moves really quick and he's like a purple flash and he's like some sort of like magic he uses, whereas the dwarf actually does a proper roll to dodge out of the way. And the dwarf's quite a good fun character as well. So, yeah, it's quite good. The dungeon layouts are quite well thought out. There's a lot of different paths and areas you can go explore. There's quite a lot of loot to get. And the thing is with the loot, when you collect it, you can't instantly equip it. What you have to do is you have to complete the mission and then you go to the rewards chest and that's where you get all your loot.
And real quickly, just so it's the names of the characters, it's Driss Druiden, that's the rogue assassin. Katie Bree is the ranger.
Yeah, and she's the niece of the dwarf guy, I think. I believe.
Right. It says in right. She's the niece of Brunner Battlehammer. Yeah, that's it, his name.
Yeah.
And then Wulfgar is the barbarian. Yeah. And so again, I think about the misconception of this game because I'm reading. I pulled up the Wikipedia for it, and so the Wikipedia reads like this. Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance is a third-person action role-playing game developed and published by Turk Games. Is based on the Dungeons & Dragons tabletop role-playing system. The game is a spiritual successor to Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance and Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2. That is absolutely wrong. This is not a spiritual successor to those games. Yeah. This game has virtually nothing to do with those games.
Yeah.
In terms of how it plays, the systems involved. And so I just feel like it does a disservice when it says it's a spiritual successor because your anticipation is, oh,
yeah,
it's going to play like those games. It's going to have those systems, and it just doesn't. And that's okay because I think what it's doing is good. I was pleasantly surprised. There's a lot of puzzle finding and
as well as
areas to explore.
Yeah, as well as the enemies, as environmental hazards, poisonous plants, as acid lakes, and all sorts. Yeah. Difficulty wise, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 6 difficulty levels, and each time you go up a difficulty level, the rarity of the loot increases. You get a lot more XP for completing the missions. When I first played it, I tried on so it starts at Adventurer, Hero, Guardian, Champion, Legend, and Ascended. So I started on the Hero level, which is the second like easiest one, and I was struggling. Level 1, but still struggling. Everyone knows I like my easy games. I like to play on easy. I don't like struggling. So I played on Adventurer. Still, some of the bits are still a challenge. Some of the bigger monsters are still a challenge. But today in co-op, I thought, well, with Greg being my ally, we'll try on Hero. And it was doable. I died a few times thanks to Greg's character rescuing me by hanging back. Managed to revive me a few times. But the rewards were the XP. I leveled up more in them 2 games we had than I did with my dwarf character.
Well, and that's the thing is I think that's another area of this game that I think has been painted a little bit unfair because based on all of these different levels, right, the increase in difficulty, I think that also ties into how the AI reacts to you.
Yeah.
And so on the lower levels, when you're playing it on the easier levels, there's definitely times where you're not going to pull the enemies. They're going to, for lack of a better word, but you'll have some enemies just sitting and watching as opposed to engaging. And that's how they are balancing out the leveling.
Yeah. And the damage you inflict and the damage I inflict increases as well.
Right. Right. And so
I had to try on Ascended.
Yeah. Once you start increasing the difficulty, as we were doing, you started to see the enemies actually would start engaging more often. Yeah. You would start to potentially get surrounded. You would be getting attacked from all sides.
What I like to call the radius of ignorance, where the ignore you, that was a lot smaller than on the easiest one.
And whereas in the earlier levels, when I was shooting, I could be shooting these guys in the back and they would pay no attention to me. They'd fixate on you.
Yeah.
Later, that stopped happening. They started to fixate more on me if I was doing more damage. And I think, again, this boils down to whoever's dealing the most damage becomes kind of the tank, so to speak.
Yeah, the aggro.
And so you were aggroing most of the time, and I was able to sit back and support. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there were challenges to it. And so, again, I think give it – if you're curious about this game, give it a chance and understand the systems at play as opposed to just thinking you can just go into it and mash. Because I think if you go into it and try and just mash buttons, you're going to be deeply disappointed. Yeah. You're going to get frustrated. Yeah. But once you start understanding how – like the lock-on works, how – and the game unfortunately does not do a great job of really teaching you how to play. I think that's one of the weaker areas of the game, and I think if they could just do a better job of explaining kind of how you lock on, how you know that stamina really does matter. Yeah. And I don't know if maybe they just had like a training battle.
Well, they
or whatever.
Do have a tutorial mod. If when you go on mission map, there is a thing at the top left where you can do training. But again, like you say, it doesn't. It's not very very clear.
You just reminded me of one other thing. And this is the one of the learning curve elements that I actually was very frustrated by this game. So when I first fired this up, I got this game the very night it downloaded, right?
Yeah.
It came alive. I downloaded it. I fired it up. And I'm like, how do I get into a freaking dungeon?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it does not teach you how to do this at all. Like, I'm like, okay. So I found the map area. And I'm like, okay. I see a bunch of dungeons on the map. Some are locked out. Some look like I can get into them. And it says, you know, select, and I selected it, and I'm like, nothing happened.
Happening, yeah, yeah.
You know, and then I selected one dungeon to load it up, and like the screen went black, and then I reappeared back in camp.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what the?
Yeah,
F?
But then yeah, like, I did exactly the same, and I noticed a little arrow.
I hadn't noticed the arrow, and then I noticed the arrow finally, and then realized there's a special area in your base camp. It's a portal. Yeah, you go to that, and then it takes you to wherever you're planning to go to. So, again, it's not a perfect game. This is not going to win Game of the Year at all.
But it's fun. I find it's fun. Yeah. As long as the game is fun and makes me smile and laugh, and it has times where you think, God, that was a challenge. That does it for me. I think it's going to be interesting if you try play as Drizzt and I play as the dwarf guy. That'll be interesting.
I'm very curious to check out the other characters and see kind of what their abilities look like. And again, knowing them from the books that I've read, because I read numerous books that had these characters in them, I definitely have a fondness for Wolfgar and Drizzt in particular. Those were the two kind of main characters that I bonded the most with. You know, Katie was it was an interesting spin, you know. So, again, I like what I've played so far.
Yeah.
Those people that are knocking this thing, oh, it's a Game Pass game. You know what? Yeah. And I'm okay with that. I wouldn't have spent $40 on this.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to have it part of Game Pass.
Yeah.
And I think that's it's a distinction that needs to be made, you know. Game Pass to me is a system that – promises exploration, because I can check out games that I normally wouldn't check out.
Yeah.
And I would not have bought this game unless it had rave reviews.
Yeah.
And so based on the reviews that were coming out, I was like, I'm not going to buy it, but I get to play it on Game Pass. I'll check it out. And I'm happy for it, and I'm glad it's included. Yeah. So I think this is the benefit of Game Pass, not to get into a diatribe on Game Pass, but I think this is one of the areas where it's an interesting argument happening right now. People are like, oh, they're developing games for Game Pass. I don't think that's happening, but I do think there are games that better fit to Game Pass in some respects. And that's, you know, for me, the games that I want to see in Game Pass are, you know, I want to see some of the AAA hitters, right? Yeah, you want those. But I also want to see some games that I'm game curious about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm curious. I'd like to try it, but I wouldn't pay for it. And a demo sometimes isn't enough.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I might try a Yakuza game.
Yeah.
I would never buy a Yakuza game.
No, I'm going to try one. Another thing I like about Dark Alliance is the checkpoint system. I thought that's quite cool. So every so often in the game, once you clear out a series of monsters in a certain area, it'll come up with a campfire, but you've got the option of resting at the campfire or foregoing that and increasing the rarity of the loot drops. So yeah. If you rest, your health regenerates, your potions get replenished. So say if you used all three of your health potions, you get three more of them, but all the monsters respawn. Right. But I didn't. Where the campfires have never respawned, did they?
Well, no, I don't think it respawns. Yeah, if you backtrack, you may encounter more more monsters.
So most of the time we did the rarity option to increase the loot drops. Just when I'd used all my health potions and was on my knees dying, then we'd do the rest thing. But yeah, I thought that was quite a neat thing that I've not seen that before in the game.
I like that spin, and it. I don't think it's increasing the difficulty, but I think by virtue of you not getting new health potions, it is.
It's that risk
increasing
reward.
Difficulty.
Yeah, risk it,
yeah
reward,
exactly.
Yeah.
How far can you go before you get into too much trouble? Yeah. I will say this though, it is a little frustrating. I mean, I get it on one hand, but you can't just save at any point in time.
No,
so. When you go into a dungeon, you have to complete the dungeon or forego everything that you've got.
Yeah, that's the only
if you can't complete it. Yeah. But anyway, so overall, Dark Alliance, I mean, for me, it's like right in that 7 to 8 range for fun factor.
Yeah.
Probably fits more of a 7 if I was going to rate it.
For me, I had no expectations. I really, really like it. I think it's a fun game. And after playing in co-op today, it was even better. So it's a good 7.5-8 for me. I'm really enjoying it. I'm going to play all the characters. I'm going to try and level them all up to 10 to get the achievements. And I don't know if we're going to add more dungeons later, but there's not that many dungeons to do. I've done over 50% of them now. So yeah, it's good fun.
Yeah, I would have to think there will be some additional dungeons, or I don't know if maybe if you go back into them, they have a different layout.
Yeah, and you can always, once you've done that dungeon on a certain difficulty, there's a little tick. So you can always try to do, as you level up and your character becomes more badass, you can try them on higher difficulty levels anyway. So,
Yep, absolutely.
Quite a bit of replayability there.
All right. Well, I think that covers all of the games. So let's move on to some news.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, so definitely a lighter news week, but there's a few stories I pulled. It's kind of some interesting stuff happening. So Microsoft unveiled Windows 11, and one of the big things
Windows
about
Windows 10 was going to be the last Windows update.
No. Windows 11, apparently it's very game-friendly, though. They're saying that this is probably one of the better systems ever for gaming, and it's looking like they're going to allow that free upgrade path again. So if you're a Windows 10 user, you'll be able to upgrade to Windows 11.
That's good then.
I don't know.
Because you use your Microsoft account now, don't you? Because I forgot to mention, it was my birthday back in May. And I got a little, Jenny bought me a little laptop, but you fold it over, it turns into a tablet. I've got it mainly for car diagnostics. I've got a few diagnostic Bluetooth things I can connect to it. But it's a great little laptop. Took it all with me. Used it for Netflix. Plugged a little HDMI lead into a TV. It's a great little thing. It was only like 100 and odd quid. Geotech, I think it's called. It's great. It's Windows 10. And as soon as I put my Windows login and things, it's all like all my stuff's there and everything. So I really like Windows 10. I've used Macs for years because I always got pissed off with Windows. I would all slow down on that. And Windows 10 turned it around for me. So I'm a bit skeptical about Windows 11. I hope it's as good.
It's interesting. So apparently they're very much going into – I mean gaming is becoming more of a focal point.
Yeah.
And so one of the things about Windows 11 that it will be a upgrade, if you will, is Microsoft's fast loading tech. So they have fast game loading tech, which I think is very similar to what they're doing in the console. But that will only come to Windows 11. So they won't implement that in any of the previous versions. So it was first announced as part of Microsoft's Xbox Series X and S consoles. The API streamlines the I/O calls for 3D assets between your SSD and the GPU. So the promise is that it will not come to the previous generations, but it will be for Windows 11. But again, you'll have that supposedly the free upgrade path. Yeah. So you'll get the benefits, assuming you have it.
Yeah, rather than buying each one now, like you say, it's all linked to your account now, isn't it? Is there an approximate release date for Windows 11? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know the release date for it. I have to imagine it's pretty soon, though, because a lot of people are getting preview versions of it now, and showing it off. So I would think within the next year for sure. Cool. Steam Summer Sale is live. In case you are a Steam user and you didn't know this, it started up on the 24th. And so a ton of games on discount and literally thousands of titles. And they basically give a highlight of some of the titles out there. The Master Chief Collection is half off at $20. Mass Effect Legendary Edition is down to $50. It's not that big of a savings. Let's see. Hades is down 30%. Horizon Zero Dawn dropped from $50 to $30. So there's some good games to buy into it. And literally thousands. So go for it. If you are a big Steam user, you are a happy person right now. Mm-hmm. Let's see. EA bought the creators of the mobile hit game Golf Clash, which I'd never heard of this game. But apparently it's a fairly big game. Because they paid $1.4 billion for this developer.
Wow.
Which tells you, now granted, they bought this from Warner Brothers. So this was a Warner Brothers or Warner Media developer.
EA trying to cash in on the mobile market now.
Yeah, I think that's just going to continue to grow. I mean, even Sony talked about getting into mobile. So it's happening on multiple fronts. Yeah. And EA just kind of increasing the war chest. Hopefully they don't kill another company. Let's see. The xCloud gaming next gen upgrades have begun rolling out.
Yeah.
So this was reported. A number of Verge players were commenting on the Verge site, saying that they were seeing options for 120 frames per second on xCloud. Right. So that would only be happening if they had actually increased the hardware.
Because they changed all the server blades to X Series X hardware out there from the 1S. Are they currently 1S?
Yeah, they're currently the Xbox One S blades.
And they're putting Series X in now.
Yeah.
That's going to be a huge difference.
It'll be monumentally different. And I think the desire is, like, right now xCloud runs at 720p. I don't know that they're planning to go full 4k with the stream, but I know for sure they're at least going to increase it to 1080, and then obviously the higher frame rate. So we'll see that, but that continues to roll out. That supposedly is going to continue rolling out through the rest of this year, and then they'll make that formal announcement. They actually have not confirmed this is more just people being out there playing on xCloud have noticed the options suddenly popping up for some of these games, and there's no way that would happen without them having new blades for those games. In particular, I guess the games I should point out are Yakuza Like a Dragon, Rainbow Six Siege, and Dirt 5 were some of the games that they noted were either having upgraded settings or just loading much faster. Back to EA. So for the upcoming Battlefield 2042, they have confirmed they will use bots to fill out the 128 player matches when they don't have enough human players. I don't know how you feel, but I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Well, you can imagine like 64v64, if you have all the gaming times is like a bit of a downtime for most people, like you say your early morning and most people don't play then. You don't want to be running around a huge frigging map just to hunt down like three or four people. So, yeah, having bots makes you feel like you're doing something at least, doesn't it? Getting a bit of XP and stuff.
And it's far better than the situation you used to have on some games where they literally would not launch until they had the full match. So you were just waiting. And it's like, okay, no. You know what? Set a certain time, and then if you can't fill it out, then bring in the bots. That's fine. I think it'll still be chaotic enough. My only hope is that the actual AI for the bots is decent. Yeah. It's not, you know, they're just running to walls and, you know, yeah. hiding in the corner. Yeah. Okay. And then last little news bit, and this is just really more rumor, but Sony supposedly was going to have an event, a digital event at the end of June. Right. And now the, you know, a couple quote unquote leakers, insiders have stated that Sony has pushed that out. And now they're looking at August, potentially even September timeframe for the next event now to happen. I mean, this could be pandemic related. It could just be they decided, you know what, there's no need for us to rush out an event now.
They might not even have any updates, might they?
They may not. So. They may not. And they may also be thinking, you know what, maybe we bring this closer to Tokyo Game Show, you know, have an impact there. But those of you that were hoping to see something by the end of June, that is definitely not happening at this point. Yeah. We would have heard about it by now. Yeah. It sounds like August will be the next time frame we get any kind of updated state of play.
I'm hoping that the new God of War is sort of like going to be like holiday release, so it might tie nicely for a Christmas time for me for a PS5 digital edition.
Well, Mark, it's funny you should mention that, because if you had been listening to our previous podcast, you would have heard. actually, God of War has been postponed to next year.
Ah, oh, bollocks.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, about right now, Horizon Zero Dawn one?
So the comment around Horizon Zero Dawn, Far West, I believe it's called Far West, something like that. Anyway, it was, we still anticipate launching holiday this year.
Right.
That to me is code word for we're not sure totally.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
Yeah.
And I think obviously the hope for Sony, if nothing else, is that they'll still have enough momentum that they don't need it, and they can just let it get fully developed and baked come first part of next year.
Yeah.
But yeah. So holiday's gonna be interesting this year. You know, in terms of what the heavy hitters actually look like right now, Halo, Battlefield, the next Call of Duty are going to be, I think, the big games.
Yeah.
And we'll see how the rest of the field fills out. Forza Horizon 5 also is going to factor in there somewhere. I just don't know if it's going to be maybe earlier in the year, like September, October, and then Halo in November.
I don't know how other countries are going to fare with this, but in the UK, like I said earlier, PS5s are pretty much non-existent, so how are they supposed to sell the games if the customer base isn't there? At least now there's the Xbox Series S and X are out there in the wild now. You can actually go out and pretty much pick one up now. But PS5 is still like rocking our shit, man. You can't get them. So it's 6 months, 7 months now since launch. What are Sony doing about that?
I can't blame this on Sony. This is the chip shortage. The chip shortage has definitely impacted all of these console makers.
But Microsoft are getting stocks out there now. Why can't Sony do that?
It could be because maybe one of their key components is something that they just can't get.
Yeah.
You know, the other side of it, and this is a good or a bad thing depending upon where you are in the ecosystem, but you know, we've noticed Sony has changed their tune around cross-generation games, right? They're now bringing out most of their games cross-generation. I think that is a direct fallout from the reality of we're not going to have enough of our next gen consoles to be in market to really justify this being only next gen. And so they've shifted their gears. And I think that will be 2021 is going to be cross-gen. You'll have a couple titles here and there that are exclusive to next-gen, but it really is still going to be cross-gen. That will go into 2022, and probably second half of 2022 is when you'll really start to see, I think, at least the manufacturers really put a lot of effort into being exclusive to the new console.
Well, I know all the Sony execs all listen to this podcast because we're so popular. So yeah, just please get them in stock for Christmas this year. Thank you.
please make a slim version. That's what I want.
Yeah.
And it's not even such a slim version.
They need pictures of his on his
shorter.
It's huge. It is huge.
Yeah. They need that console to be just about 2 inches shorter, and then I'll feel comfortable putting it into my entertainment center. As it is right now, it would be so tight in there that I fear overheating would be a huge issue. Yeah. But anyway, I digress. All right. That does it for the news. Why don't you, Mark, walk us through the new releases coming up.
Yeah, so new releases from June 27th to July the 3rd. We've got Curved Space on PS5, Xbox X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One and PC on June 29th. We've got Destroy All Humans on the Switch, June 29th. Disgaea 6, Defiance of Destiny on the Switch, June 29th. Doom Eternal on PS5, Xbox Series X and S, June 29th. I thought that was already out. Or is this the enhanced version?
It is the enhanced version, yeah. Okay. Well, it's enhanced for next gen.
Yeah, yeah, because I know it's already on Game Pass, isn't it, for
yep.
P1. Sky Children of the Light on the Switch, June 29th. A lot of love for the Switch this week. Spirit of the North on Xbox Series X and S and Xbox One, June 29th again. On June 30th, Doki Doki Literature Club Plus. God, I remember playing Doki Doki Universe on the PS4 when it first launched. That was one weird-ass game.
I don't think I've ever played a Doki Doki game.
It's different. It's different.
Okay.
PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And on June 30th, I don't think someone's been playing with this, but yeah, Greedfall. On PS5 and Xbox Series X and S. And I think this is the enhanced version because I believe Greedfall's already out.
That is correct,
yes. That's the specific versions for the latest gen consoles. That is your new releases for this week.
All right. I'll be kind of curious to see Greedfall because I did play it.
I know Kim was really excited for Greedfall.
I played it. I was less than enthused.
What type of game is it? Is it an Assassin's Creed or is it more like Diablo?
No, it's more Assassin's Creed, RPG, open world kind of. You'll have your crew that you build out.
Yeah.
It's almost like a steampunk pirate vibe to it.
Yeah.
It feels very much like a game from an Eastern world developer,
right?
You know, like from a Poland or something.
Yeah.
And just visually, it looked very muddy to me.
Right.
A lot of kind of browns and dark colors, and it wasn't very vibrant. Which I mean, doesn't have to be, I guess, but that coupled with the visually, it was just okay. So I'm really kind of curious to see what the next gen versions of this might look like, if it's really going to be that big of an improvement or not.
Right. Just to go off tangent a little bit, then. So Cyberpunk, has that had its official Exodus?
No.
No,
it has not.
I know it's now gone back onto the PlayStation Store, hasn't it? Apart from PS4. So it's only available for Pro and PS5 people. But yeah, I didn't know if the enhanced version's out yet, because I'm holding off on that until the enhanced version comes out.
So they release patches. So on the PS5 and the Xbox Series X and S consoles, I think the game actually runs well enough for you to be able to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I've been playing it on the Series X. I have not had no issues.
All right. Okay.
You get the occasional open world glitch, whatever, but I mean, nothing breaking.
Yeah.
So I've been enjoying it, but it definitely, it's not the enhanced version of the game. It has just been a game patched for next gen consoles.
I suppose really the only difference is going to be a bit of ray tracing.
I mean, that's my guess.
Yeah.
Who knows? Hard to say. Again, it'll be curious to see what it looks like when it comes out versus what it looks like now. I have to think it'll just run much better, even though it runs well enough now.
Yeah.
And I've still been playing it. In fact, that was my choice, was Red Dead Redemption 2 or Cyberpunk. I was debating on which one I was going to fire up. I went Red Dead Redemption 2 just because I was in that cowboy mood.
Yeah.
but I would have been happy playing Cyberpunk. I've been enjoying what I've been playing. Right, so, good. But yeah. All right. Hey, victory's achieved. That's a thing. This is our way of giving back. So if you're not familiar with Victories Achieved, and you should be at this point if you've listened to this podcast before, but this is basically when you complete a game, we want you to jump onto Twitter, or you can send us it via email or on WhatsApp, but basically take a picture of the game you just completed, put in hashtag Victory Achieved to it, and let us know, obviously, the game that you did complete. We do prefer there be pictures of your face.
I've just seen the picture of John Mouse.
Yeah, yeah, well, there's that.
That is awesome.
Yeah, you should put that up on screen.
Yeah,
Mark, you should manage to do that.
It looks like he's constipated.
It does look like he's constipated. That's John. That's John for us. But yeah, so you complete the game, you get it up there, and here's the best part: we put you into a drawing. This is a once a quarter drawing that we do. We give away $20 in the US, £15 for the Queen's money, and basically let you buy something with that. It could be on Xbox, it could be on PlayStation, it could be on Steam. We might even figure out a way to put it on Nintendo if we really cared. Yeah. But the good news is you don't have to do anything other than play the games you're already playing, complete them, send it to us, and we get you into the drawing. And like I said, it's once a quarter. We should be having actually one at the end of this month. So by next week, I think, or the week after that, we'll have that drawing. In the meantime, these people have actually completed games. John Mouse was very busy. He's knocking out a whole bunch of games along with a very goofy picture. John Mouse completed Gears of War 5 Hive Busters.
Wow.
He completed Quantum Break.
Wow. I've still got
he also, yeah, he also completed Metropolis Lux Obscura.
That's why he's pulling that face, because he's thinking, what the fuck game is that?
It got to be that, or he really needed to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
Then Harley Dan finished Near Replicant version 1.22474487139.
And we're not kidding. Look, there it is. Look, proof.
Yeah. And Mr. Killer Cranky also finished Zelda Breath of the Wild. And so for all of your hard work, not only are you entered into this fantastic drawing that costs you literally nothing, you also get this to remember it by.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
All right. Well, enough of that. Look, hey, if you are here, and by the way, shout out to the Lord. He jumped into the chat. We very much appreciate that. It was a bit of a quiet show today.
Fellow Yorkshireman. Just the,
yeah. Fellow Yorkshireman. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Every time you say Yorkshire, I think pudding. That's
yeah. I had Yorkshire pudding for dinner today. My wife makes one of the best Yorkshire puddings ever.
That does me no good, Mark.
Yeah.
Literally, it does me no good.
Yeah.
Nor anybody else except for yourself. You're just bragging at this point. You're bragging.
Yeah. I like my Sunday. It's tradition. We always have a nice Sunday dinner on Sunday. My mum comes to dinner every Sunday. Nice roast beef or chicken or whatever, potatoes, all the veg, and massive homemade Yorkshire pudding.
Okay, all right. I feel left out. I know, I'm hungry.
I'll get to send you one. It might be
please do not send me a Yorkshire pudding.
It'll
the
be
mail.
A bit soggy.
Please
when it gets
do not. Just a box of mold.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Lord, thank you for joining the chat. Look, we are on every week. It'll be one version of me and or Robin and or Mark or Kim or possibly Nicole or maybe even a ginger mongoose. We might even find time to bring back the bald-headed hitman, also known as Phil Olson. Regardless, there will be somebody behind the mics. We'll be talking video games. We'll be talking community, and we'll be having fun. So come back, join us. It's a thing. Yeah. And so with that said, Mark, why don't you start the shout outs? Yeah,
so you can get me on all the gaming platforms. I am Markanics. I'm no longer on Twitter, and I've not missed it one bit because I just hate the toxicity of it. I can't even say that, can I? I'm even thinking about quitting Facebook now because there's that much shit on there. It's awful. So get me as Mark Alex on any of them gaming platforms. I'm going to be back on regular, but it's going to be every fortnight for me, unfortunately, because I work Sundays now, one in every two. So I'm just too knackered when I get home. I just can't be asked. So yeah, one in every two. So I'll be on again in 2 weeks' time. And my shout-outs are Nicole for making an appearance last week. It's been great to see her back. I managed to catch her first like half an hour of a show last week live. It was fantastic to see Nicole back. She's all healthy and well. And I want a big shout-out to Matt Hancock, who was the health secretary in the UK, who has now resigned. He has given us so many hilarious memes over the past couple of days. I don't know if you've heard, Greg.
I've seen the pictures.
Health secretary telling you to social distance and everything when he's being caught fucking fondling and snogging his personal aide around the back of where he works, whatever. Anyway, so yeah, some hilarious memes out there. So well done, Matt Hancock, you idiot. Just shout out to all the listeners and the rest of the podcast crew. I've missed you all, and I'm glad to be back. I'll let you take us out, Greg. Oh, and right. Pete Chin, I don't like your game tag. It's still not growing on me. It's stupid. Right, go on, Greg. I thought legit Chinny were a great game tag player, but Yampy Ed, what is that? Right, sorry, Greg.
No. All right, fair enough. Yampy Yed. I agree. The legit Chinny, that is what he is and forever will be.
It's the eldest of the two, so it makes sense. Or it could be the original Chinny. I don't know.
Or Big Panty Woman. One of the big three. Options. A shout out to, again, everybody in the community. We really do love you all. We are here for you. So if you are feeling down, if you're having a moment where you're just like, life sucks, reach out to us.
Yeah.
We'll cheer you up. We'll send you to Robin. that's my go-to move. It's just to go talk to Robin.
We've all been through our fair share of shit. And the guys on the WhatsApp chat are even ringing. Robin's rung me a couple of times. And the guys are just superb. They're just there to vent your anger, have a chat with, a bit of banter. It's just amazing. And we've got various chat groups. We've got one where we've got a lot of gaming friends and community members in called OCP What's Next. We've got our own podcast one, I think. So, yeah, just get involved. Just contact any of us and we'll get you in there. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to just be there, to be honest. It could be through email. It can be on Twitter. Yeah. It could be on Facebook. Just reach out to us. We will come to your aid. We're there for you. Let's see. Mark, good to have you back.
Thank you,
my friend.
Cheers.
I was glad to see that we were able to podcast again finally.
I was very tired before the show, but I've perked up now. It's picked me up. It's very therapeutic doing this. I really enjoy doing this.
It is. I'm telling you.
And even John Mouse is enjoying it. Look at his face. Oh, bless him.
I'm telling you. That face. And it was a double dip today. That was even the best part. So not only did we get to podcast together, we actually gamed together the first time in forever.
It's been a while. It's the first time I've played co-op on a video game for God knows. I can't remember last time.
And for the record, it worked seamlessly. We didn't have any drops. I know people have been complaining about drops, that kind of thing.
All right.
We're literally thousands of miles away. We had no issues.
Nope.
So
if you want to play Dark Alliance, is it four-player co-op? It will be what it was, four characters. Yeah,
just think so.
Hit me and Greg up. We'll play Dark Lines anytime you want. There you go.
Yes. All right. That's it. Thank you, everybody. Come back next week. We will talk to you then. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. And keep on gaming. Mark, send us out with some groovy music.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.